This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. So this week, I am excited to sit down with the one and only Chris Cotton of AutoFix Shop Coaching, podcaster on the network with the Weekly Blitz, as well as multi-shop owner. So what we're going to be talking about this week is this year's benchmark report that we put out. Chris did an awesome analysis, but what are shop owners doing, or what should they be doing with this information to make real changes in their business? It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news. You don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicketfile, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicketfile. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business? That's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Tired of vendors selling you leads without accountability? Overdrive acts as your outsourced marketing director. And because it's powered by AI, it predicts demand, launches smart campaigns, and tracks every dollar. More car count, higher ARO, real control. Visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. So yeah, just want to say welcome to the show, Chris. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you coming back. And full disclosure for the people listening to this, this is going to be really good because this is Chris and I's second attempt on this episode. So we went like 40 minutes last time. I clicked stop recording on it, but unfortunately what I thought was the stop recording button was the start recording. So appreciate you coming back again. And I know it's going to be just as much fun.
Yeah, we always have fun. I don't know how it's going to be. I'm usually always a better first take kind of person, but we've talked this out once, so off we go, right? Like, here we are.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about that. So like I said, Chris also does a podcast on this network, and I was thinking embarrassingly of how many episodes that I've recorded and not ended up submitting. So yeah, I mean, it's an honor that you got to be a part of that one. You know, it's a rite of passage that most guests don't get to see, so.
I feel like maybe I need to come to your podcast studio and sign the wall like actors do sometime next time I'm out your way.
There you go. So let's talk about this benchmark report. You know, what we were kind of joking about before we started recording, not only about, you know, that hopefully I'm going to start recording this time, but I'm an accountant. I see more shops than anyone that is not a shop owner. And the benchmark report was really put together to get all of these numbers, to get all this data and put it into a format to really answer the question, hey, what are the good shops doing and what are the bad shops doing? But really, that's an oversimplification because it is, what do the numbers of the good shops look like? What are the numbers of the bad shops look like? One of the reasons why I was really excited to have you on, Chris, is not only are you a podcaster like I am, but you're a coach. So working with a ton of shop owners out there and also a shop owner yourself. So I guess if you want to talk about the report, like what surprised you've been doing this for a couple of years, or like what's your takeaway that you're really hammering with your clients or in your own shops right now?
So the big thing that I want to make sure that we mention and talk about is having access to great shop management systems, having access to things is great, but if you don't track things and you don't measure things, then you can't really fix anything. So I always tell people, if you can track it and measure, you can fix it no matter what it is. Like if it's your margins, if it's productivity, if it's any of those things, track it, measure it, learn the numbers, learn what they do, and move it forward. The big thing I want to tell everybody is, and your report showed it, is coaching matters. Like shops that are coached, athletes that are coached, they do better. And I can tell you from my personal life, I've lost almost 60 pounds in the last year. It was because I had a coach. I had somebody kicking my ass every day telling me, hey, stop being such a fat schlub, but guess what? I'm going to be looking at your weigh-in tomorrow and everything you eat. So again, it was nothing that I didn't already know, but we started tracking and measuring all of the inputs, all of the outputs, all of that stuff. So again, back to the shop, if you track it and measure it, you can be successful. So, sorry, I went a little ADD there. The big thing was have a coach because it helps. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, great. I don't need everybody to come to us. It would be great, but I can't handle all that volume. But the thing is, find somebody that you relate to, find a coach that can hold you accountable, and get coaching. We'll start with that.
I think that's a really good thing, because a lot of people look at what we do for our accounting services, right? We specialize in shops. We give people a lot of numbers, a lot of reports, and they sometimes confuse that with coaching. But people are confusing numbers and reports with coaching. And that's where this is such a cool segue, because my report is going to show you, it's going to allow you to benchmark. And we keep on talking about this benchmark report. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you probably haven't been listening that long, but we will put a link in the show notes here, or someone will hopefully put a link in the show notes so you can check it out as well. But a great example, when you said everyone needs a coach, is the benchmark is going to lead you to get some information, but then lead to a lot of questions. So you're going to benchmark your business, and I'm going to lead you to a hard one with productivity. But you go down and you realize that where I'm an outlier is my team is a lot less productive than maybe the average or the top shops out there. My report's not going to tell you how to motivate the team. My report's not going to show you how to pay the team. This is where a coach comes in. This is identifying weak points on it. So the old adage a lot of times on productivity is that productivity is an individual issue with your team. I need to get more productive technicians. But I think that there's a lot of things that you and I both see in, you know, productive shops or high performing shops that looks like similar people doing similar things, but there's something outside that's making this work better or be more productive.
Right. So say somebody understands that they have a productivity issue, then you have to go through and look at what are my barriers to productivity. Most people blame the technicians, but the technicians, they're probably working at what they think or what they believe or what can be their maximum potential, right? Like, they're not being lazy on purpose, I don't think, maybe in some cases. But really what you have to look at is it can be three different things for productivity, I think. It can be the technician. It can also be their environment. And it can also be leadership. And so leadership falls on the owner. Like, if your people are unproductive, then you got to figure out why. Environment can be a couple of different things. Environment can be, I had a big diesel shop that we went and looked, and these guys, I figured they were taking like 10 to 15,000 steps a day working around this shop that was just massive. And I'm like, okay, the first thing you guys are going to do is we're going to get step counters on you and then see how many steps you take. Turns out they were each taking over 20,000 steps a day, picking up parts, going to the office, just communication, everything else. So that can be part of your environment.
One of the things that you mentioned that you kind of went over very quickly, again, what I'm hearing that, right, I'm doing a step counters. In my mind, I was thinking how this is set up, right? Where the toolbox is, where the break room is, where the bathroom is. But one of the things that you mentioned is communicating with the front counter, right? Walking around to communicate with it. How much of the productivity do you see has like nothing to do with actually the job and everything else before and after it that's really kind of causing people problems?
I think probably 10 to 15% pretty easily. And so this shop was a huge diesel shop in California, and they had their parts department, but instead of finding a way to deliver the parts to the bay, which is what we did, they made all the technicians come to the parts counter to get parts. So we switched that around. We put a dedicated parking spot for the parts driver to back into. It went right into a secondary area where the parts person either said, okay, this is for inventory and it goes into the room, or this needs to be delivered directly to the bay. And then we put bins at each technician's station. And then the parts person's job was to deliver that to the technician. The communication part of it is, this shop had a mechanism in place, but nobody liked it. And so they just never used it. So instead of, like, everybody had walkie-talkies at their station, but everybody wanted to go to the front and speak directly. And I think it's more of a comfort. Like, instead of me staring at a wall talking into walkie-talkie, I want to look you in the eyes and speak to you. So, and when I do a shop visit, I kind of just sit back the first day and just take notes and look and watch. And I sat in the waiting area. And there would be times where there were like two, three, four technicians standing there waiting to talk to a service advisor. And then they'd have like a 10-second conversation and then they'd walk back to their toolbox. And, you know, just hours every day of people standing at the counter. When I talk about environment, you have physical barriers, communication barriers, environment, and then you have service advisor process environment issues, like we're not charging correctly for diagnostic time. We're not charging enough for diagnostic time. This person's my best buddy, so I'm going to give them like 3 hours here, 3 hours there. Like, you can bleed 15 to 20% out of a shop pretty quickly, just processes and procedures and not putting people in the right diagnostic time. So those are all different things. But what you have to do is, again, okay, you tracked and measured, you know, productivity sucks. Now you need to track and measure and be like, okay, what of these other things do we suck at and we need to get better at? And then I always like to remove the technician's barrier first and have a sit down as an owner and be like, okay, I know we have a productivity issue. You know we have a productivity issue. What can I do as an owner to make you more productive? You always take the ownership and the office side of it first and fix that. Because if you don't, and you're like, well, I notice you take your phone to the bathroom and you do this and you show up late or whatever, then they're going to deflect and they're going to come back to the ownership and be like, well, you guys do all these things too. So if you remove that first, then you can be like, hey, you know, we had the meeting, we talked about these 8 or 10 different things, we fixed these. Now here's what I see you doing that you can be better at.
And you bring up a really good point where if you look at something like productivity, right, because I'll bury the lead for anyone that hasn't seen the report, virtually the only number that is related to profit is productivity. You have a high productivity shop on it, you're probably going to be profitable. There's outliers to this, but general linear relationship on it. But I think that what you were talking about is extremely true. And a lot of people go to this and are like, hey, productivity, right, just got to be get them doing more work, where this is such a complicated solution. Do you think, like, what is a way, if someone's listening to this and they don't have a coach or no one's ever visited into their shop, do you think that's like kind of a paramount thing to do? Is you guys have probably been doing this the way that you've always done it. Some of these guys maybe have never seen another shop. How important is it to get kind of outside opinion, or like you said, of just, you know, talking to the team? The team might tell you, hey, boss, this is the issue. And if you just listen to them, they might even, you know, pay for whatever the request is.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to ask questions, right? And it's basic questions like, okay, are we getting parts properly? Are we getting this properly? Like, where do you think the bleed off is? It's funny, like I have a shop in Rochester, New York, that's a great shop. We have them doing $350,000 a month now. When they started, we were doing like $180,000 a month. And so we're in the final piece of making the Diag technicians more profitable. And what we noticed with the Diag technicians was, is if you ask them, you're like, hey, we have these level one, level two, level three tests. On a level one, how many times should we have sold a level two? Or how often do you go over on time? And they're like, oh, I bang them out all day long. I'm never over on time. I'm awesome, whatever. And we all know that's crap because it's just not true. Like, if you ask a professional how fast they're going to get to do it, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, I got it. Like, I can nail this every time. But if you take a stopwatch or use your shop management system and make them clock in or out on the jobs, then you can be like, hey, 90% of the times we sell you a level one and it should have really been a level two. Or what training do we need to send you to make you faster on the level ones?
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit gopromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry. Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. You're working on growing a more profitable shop. That's critical. But the profit doesn't automatically give you the freedom or reduce your stress. That's exactly what the 24-video blueprint course by Maverick Shop Owners addresses. Customers, sales, profit, people, systems, and freedom. How to build profit and freedom into the same business. Get free access for our listeners only at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. If your car count fluctuates and you don't know why, that's not marketing, that's gambling. Overdrive.os installs a true marketing operating system inside your shop. It monitors performance daily, predicts slow weeks before they hit, and automatically launches revenue-driving campaigns to stabilize car count. Every dollar is tracked, every campaign is measured, every result is optimized. No random boost, no guesswork, no hope marketing. This is controlled via data-driven growth built specifically for auto repair shops. If you're ready for predictable revenue and getting the most out of your marketing, visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com.
When you're working with shops, and like the example that you just said was pretty incredible, you know, working with a shop doubled their sales, doubled their top line. How much of this, because obviously we know they're billing more hours. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? They're going to bill at a higher rate. But if we look at inputs and outputs, how much of this is you actually going in there and getting these guys to do more work? Or like you mentioned, how much of this is like, you got to have a team that is actually doing stuff. You need to be better on the counter, or better on pricing, or better on marketing to capture and get paid the dollars for the stuff that these guys are already doing. Like, do we see a productivity level that truly doubled in that shop? Or we had a team that finally was getting recognized and paid for some of the work that they're already doing?
I mean, we ramped up a lot. And so in this shop owner, it's not flat rate, it's pay. A lot of their employees have been there for a really long time. We don't have any employee issues really. And, you know, I told them in the beginning, I'm like, we can fix some of this if we switch to flat rate. And the owner's like, no, I don't want to do that. So I was like, okay, then it's processes up front. Like, we have to do better at selling Diag. A lot of shops don't even sell any type of Diag at all. They're just like, hey, blah, blah, blah. You know, they answer the phone and like, oh yeah, that's the Knuter valve. Bring it in. We'll replace it and we're done. And so we don't do any of that testing. Probably 30% of this was processes and procedures, just workflow. They're big enough that they have a parts person. So this shop also, they also do collision work. They have a separate location where they do collision work, and they also do sales. It's a Euro shop. So they do, they're heavy into Audi and Volkswagen, but they do other stuff. So their parts person was also the collision parts person. And we had a lot of people that were doing double duty, and they just weren't doing either one of them really well. And it was slowing them down. Like, they're like, oh, I got to stop and do this collision estimate. I got to stop and do this. So we also separated those business units out of there. And once we got to looking at it, we're like, okay, guys, we can't do this anymore. You need to be a professional at what you do. You need to be professional at what you do. And really, to get to the next level with the shop, one of the things that we're doing is because the Diags were a bottleneck. We would bring in all these Diags, and then people would be waiting to get, you know, diagnosis done. So we tried something a little bit different. And so now we have like a, basically like a $90 consultation fee where you come in and drop the vehicle off. A technician looks at it and then decides if it's a level one, level two, level three, or what the testing process is. The car doesn't leave, but they reschedule it back in to Diag or kick it over to one of the other techs for Diag. And that's helped us out a lot because we're not cheating ourselves at the counter by not putting the correct testing and everything in there. And it kind of helps us weed out customers that maybe weren't the best customers for us. If they're like, okay, I'm not bringing it in for the $90. Like, if you can't bring it in for a $90 consultation, you're for sure not going to do a $450 Diag on a Audi, Mercedes, BMW, or anything like that. And so it's helped us a lot in a lot of ways.
And so this is before they were never selling the level three, because how would you know unless you had so much kind of happenstance evidence that it immediately needed a level three? So if someone came into that shop and they said, I need you to check it out, that $90 that I pay, is that going towards my diag or $90 and then I got level one?
It's $90 and then you go from there. And if it's something simple and you can do it like for this 30-minute evaluation, then fine, you knock it out and it's done and you got a happy customer.
Every once in a while, like, hey, $90 is enough on it. Hey, it needed this. This was loose, whatever on it. Okay, cool. I love that idea.
Like when I set up diags in a shop and the testing, we have criteria that we set. But what happens is service advisors, for whatever reason, they have a hesitation on selling like the two or the three or the whatever, and they just won't do it. So they automatically default everything to a level one to get the customer in the door, instead of doing a better job of selling the value and the benefits of what the level two or the level three really is. And it just makes it more fair for the shop, the customer, everybody. And interesting side note, like on this shop, I met them at SEMA and they're like, hey, we have a shop, it's underperforming, whatever. And I looked at the numbers and I looked at what the shop was capable of doing. I'm like, oh, you know, this is a $400,000 a month. This is a $5 million a year shop. And they just laughed at me. And they're like, we've never done over 200,000. And within 6-7 months, we were breaking records. My first month with them was like a November, December, January. And they're like, well, we've never done that in January. I'm like, well, don't tell me that. I don't care. This is the number. You go hit it and boom, off we go. And so now they're doing 360, almost 400,000 a month. So we've almost got that shop at capacity. Like we're pretty close.
Now, when you start working with shops, this might be a hard question for you, but how many of these shops, like the one you just said, which are like very close, right? Like you're 6-7 months away from this being your dream shop. Like how many people have all the right bones and foundation there and just haven't been able to put it together? Or how many shops do you see when you go in there and you're like, we just need a major rework of this system?
I would say less than 10% of shops are within 40% of their number, their capacity number.
They're doing the right things on it, but they're missing stuff here. They're not doing diag. They don't have to pay right. But like, if you go in there like, hey, they're doing okay on parts margin, but those couple percentages in a couple of different categories is the reason that they're not hitting their goals.
Well, and I think I want to go back and talk about mindset here in a little bit, but I used to be the firm believer, like if you'd have talked to me 20 years ago, I'd be like, okay, we need to have two bays for every tech, blah, blah, blah. It's great for the tech, terrible for the shop. And so when I talk about capability, I talk about what the shop was designed to do. If you have an 8-bay store, you need to have a technician in every bay. And really what shifted my mind on that was COVID. Okay, you have a 6-bay shop and you have 3 technicians and one of them's out with COVID. It's hard to run a 6-bay shop if you've got everybody else there and make any money. Like you're just barely breaking even. And so I really shift my mindset. Like I need a technician in every bay. Plus, if you have people going on vacation, it's summertime, you know, in July, I had 3 techs go on vacation. Well, okay, guess what? We might as well all shut down because we're going to lose the money the whole month of July if we don't have all those bays filled and have a way to figure that out. I'm huge on a technician in every bay. That doesn't mean you have technicians that shouldn't be there. That means like good producing technicians. And if you look at, there's some great AI stuff now where there's a company that can set up a camera. It'll watch your bay, tell you the productivity. It measures like time on car, time not on car. That just reinforced that whole idea.
What product's that?
Gosh, it starts with an A. They've changed their name twice and I just forget.
Is that Chris's company that used to be Baywatch?
Yes.
Oh, no way. That's super cool. Yeah.
So what we noticed on that was, okay, I'm going to hang a car in this bay to make it look like I'm busy, but I'm really not going to do anything on this till tomorrow, probably. But if you take a same technician that's working out of one bay, then guess what? A lot of cars that just get parked on a lift and sit there will get pushed out and another one will get in and you'll get it built out and move on.
Auto flow.
Yeah.
Auto flow. That's what it is.
Yeah. The name's changed a couple of times, but it's a great product. If you haven't seen it, it's super cool.
Super cool. I remember him talking about it for years. And you know, a way that if you're technology savvy or, you know, you want all that data, I mean, it's that missing link that a lot of people don't have, right? It's what Mitchell doesn't show. It's what TechMitch doesn't show of what's in there, but no one's recorded. a lot of times you can also, and you, what you probably did before is like old school. What is everyone in your shop doing? Just do a look. Look out there, right? Follow the guys. See what they're doing. See where they're walking. Like you said, you know, a lot of these answers are right in front of you. And a lot of the answers that you're probably even giving to your clients are only kind of came about because you went in and saw what they're doing or maybe what they weren't doing.
That's the other biggest value of coaching, right? Is like we're shortcutting your learning curve because we've screwed it up so many times. Like I can tell you 20 different ways to screw something up or do it wrong, but I can give you like two ways to do it correctly. And then we can just skip all the other stuff. You know, those are the types of things that we see. Like the other thing about that program is it'll actually go in with your shop management system and it'll match the vehicle with the tag number to the shop management system. And it'll flag it if there's a vehicle in there that you don't have an RO on or stuff like that. And say you have 5 hours assigned to this ticket and it's been in there for 7 hours, it's going to flag it and send you the report and be like, hey, we're not getting this stuff out in time.
Someone call this person up. What a cool tool. And Chris is an awesome dude, but what a cool tool. So like if you have a shop that's having issues with overruns, like especially I can imagine like restoration shops, like, hey, we only called for 10 hours on that. You can now, before it's even closed out, be like, Richie, you're at 30 hours on this. Before we take any more bath on that. That's cool. But again, going back to, are you changing the guy's behavior? Or are you making sure to put the process and procedures in place to make sure that like they're doing productive and paid work on this?
Right. You know, all of those things, if you're in California or somewhere where you, you know, you're paying for all your time. I mean, in my shops, we pay hourly as well. We don't do flat rate. And I take it as a personal challenge and the people at the front counter take it a personal challenge to make sure that we bill out the most amount of hours we can every week. I pretty much can tell you down to the dollar what payroll is every week, and I know exactly what I need to do to be successful.
And as we saw on our top shops in the report, you know, a lot of people, I think the old conventional logic was high productivity has to be flat rate. How else are you going to have someone that's money motivated? Of our top shops for like the third year in a row, 50-50. Some of my top shops that are extremely productive, just like Chris, like they're all salary, they're all hourly. Some of them are flat rate on it, but you know, it doesn't mean that the pay plan is everything, which I think is probably the entire thing we've been talking about for the first part of this episode of like, these are all the things affecting shops. These are all the things Chris is seeing in their shop. Not once have you said the only way to fix this is by going to flat rate. I'll give you a tricky one because this is a hard one here is, if I'm listening to this, and maybe you gave the answer already that like get these guys paid for their work, but one of the hard situations that I do see is what if I'm a shop looking at this, right? We've been hammering productivity and you're thinking to yourself, well, my guys are only like 50% more productive and I already think that they're overpaid. How do you address a shop when the realistic conversation with the guys is we need to do more work, but you're probably not going to make any more money and it's not a really conversation? How do you do that without throwing money at these guys? Or do you need to get some sort of spiff and throw money at them?
I would say less than 20% of technicians nowadays are money motivated. So throwing money at people is not going to help. Like the more people we have retiring, the more people we have that were money motivated that are no longer money motivated. I think, you know, the first thing you just have to take them through the basic numbers of the business. Like, I think everybody should teach all their employees, like, what are the metrics of the business and be like, hey, at 40% productivity, you know, we might as well lock the doors. We're not making any money. Like, all this work you're doing is for nothing other than you're getting paid. Everybody's getting paid, but I'm getting paid. I still think that most shops have one employee that they don't need in the back. And if you released all of those technicians back into the pool and let them shuffle around, it would lessen the so-called technician shortage. But if you're a shop and you have 50% productivity, the first thing is I'm looking at hours and being like, okay, because you're going to have somebody that's billing out 70, 80, 90%, and you're going to have somebody that's billing out 35, 40, 45%. And you're going to have one or two people that are billing out 10%. Like, you probably don't need those people. And that's where I would start first. Like, why are we having like a social welfare program for technicians to just be on our dole? Like, we don't need them. Like, period, end of story.
Do you see that being contagious too? Like, does that set a culture of not everyone is working 110% because, you know, we've got some guys blowing out of water and some guys just doing nothing here?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's always looking at everybody else and pointing fingers, right? Like, they're always like, oh, well, this person so-and-so, this person so-and-so. I'm like, well, again, we're tracking it, we're measuring it, we're looking at it. I've got a technician in my shop. He's a great technician all around. He's a Ford Master Tech. He's single dad with two kids, and I pretty much let him come and go as he pleases because he's got to pick up kids, drop off kids, do all this other stuff. And when he's at work, he's like knocking out work. And so, you know, he spends a lot of time working on all the problem stuff, diag and stuff. But, you know, this morning, I think we had like 7-8 diags for him to look at, and he was pretty much done by noon today of looking at all that. So,
and now for him, if you threw more money at him, would that really have changed his behavior, or is the value that he's getting from you the flexibility, right? So again, if you went back and just said like, hey, I'm going to try to throw a spiff, you're not asking what this guy wants. What he really wants is, well, if I do X, Y, and Z, can I leave at this time to go do stuff with my kids? Or, hey, if I need to call out, will you give me some PTO hours? So you were able to kind of deliver what he wanted. And in turn, it's like, if you give me the environment where I can succeed and take care of my family, I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure I don't screw up this gig.
Yeah. And, you know, all of my people work 4 days on, 3 days off. So he works Monday through Thursday. I have another tech that works Tuesday through Friday that takes over the diags on Friday. And he's a big, we're in the southwest corner of Colorado. So all these guys, like, we're 2 hours from Moab. So they take their rock crawlers and go to Moab, spend all weekend tearing the crap out of them, and then spend all week fixing them so they can go back again. I mean, that's, you know, family's a big thing for him, and that's what he does. And I kind of just leave him be. And people are like, well, you know, so-and-so comes in 2 hours. I'm like, dude, duck your head and do your job. Don't worry about everybody else. Like, if I wanted to change that behavior, I would change that behavior.
There's plenty of habits to break in a shop. That's probably not one of the ones you're looking to break, right?
Every one of my employees has some sort of a special circumstance in life that I have to work with. And I'm fine working with it. Is it frustrating sometimes? Absolutely. Like, my daughter's home for the summer, and she's been working at the counter, and she's freaking crushing it. She's the only employee that doesn't work 4 days on, 3 days off. She works 5 days on, 2 days off. And on Monday mornings, she kind of just tells everybody, hey, I'm going to get up and go in when I'm ready. And this morning, it was like 9:30 before she got to the shop. And I'm just like, oh my God. But I don't say anything about it. If she ever listens to the podcast, she'll know, like, Piper, get your ass up and go to work. But anyway, everybody's got a special circumstance. You kind of have to work around it and figure out what you can do and then go from there.
No, and I think that probably wraps up this entire thing, because when we talked about this before, I think we went to all different things, productivity. But like, one of the coolest things that I heard about this is, again, when we started, it's like, biggest issue, number one issue, if you want to hear the cliff notes, like, productivity is affecting your profit. But everyone instantly thinks, well, I just need to go yell at my guys to do more work. And what we just spent the last 30 minutes is all of the different reasons of why you have seen, either in your shop or client shops, a productivity having nothing to do with getting the guys, you know, more money, had nothing to do with screaming at the guys, had nothing to do with, you know, putting on some sort of quota. Was, hey, figuring out what the pain point is. Identify your own business, because every person listening to this, the reason your productivity sucks is, and it's probably going to be a different reason or a combination. It's your layout plus your pay planner. It's a layout plus a lack of leadership. Or like Chris said, I do see this a lot. You guys love to keep the people. And it's like, if I have 8 people doing the work of 6, then you either got to get enough work that you have all the capacity filled, or you have a culture that kind of needs to run on 75% productivity. How are you going to go from 100% 1 week to 50% the next week?
Well, and you know, we talked about it last time, like, and maybe I overdid it, right? Like, I thought we had a big jump from 1 million the first year to 1.6 million. And I'm like, okay, we're going to go to 2.4 million this year. And our car count has kind of crashed since we were fine January, February, March, and into April. But since April, car count's kind of crashed, and we're about 200 cars a month down from what I was planning on. So I hired an extra service advisor, I hired 3 extra technicians, and carried them all through the winter to train them up to get them ready. It didn't appear. And so unfortunately, I had to go back and make the hard decision. Like, look, I paid all you people through Christmas and 6 months wherein I didn't need to, and the car count's just not there. It's washed, and I got to get rid of some people. So that's on me, but I also, you know, have to be responsible to the other employees that I'm keeping. Like I have to keep the doors open to be able to feed them and take care of our customers. So I have to make that hard decision. But I'll also tell you that we just had the best month we've ever had in July. I wanted to do 200,000. We did a little over 190. Our average repair order is up almost $200 a ticket. So our offset in car count was better because we actually worked on almost 100 fewer cars this July than we did last July, but made more money and better sales.
Tell them how much you got in your bank account right now.
I don't have much right now, but we'll see. I just, the first of the month and all the money's going out. And I'll tell you, like, my target net is 25% or better. It's like always OB, and we're better than the 25%. But you also know, because you do our taxes, like every penny I've made the last year, year and a half, I put right back into the thing. Like I spent $45,000 on a Hunter alignment machine that I just wrote a check for. And then, you know, $20,000 service truck and all this other stuff for the other shop. So my cash cow is paying for a lot of other stuff right now.
It's always exciting though. There's always something. And that's, I think, when we've obviously seen an extreme example over the last 5-6 years with COVID shutdowns and all of this. But like what I really hear in all of this is what you did last year might have worked last year. And if you keep on doing all of the same stuff and you don't listen to your team, you don't listen to the market, you don't listen to the customers, could in the long run you be all right and have a decent business? Yeah, probably, if the core is fine. But if you are not making fine-tune adjustments, if you are not looking at this stuff, you are probably costing yourself money. And again, these are things that might be the same every single month, but probably need to be looked at periodically. So Chris, if someone's listening to this and saying, man, he is hitting the right stuff here, I think that I need someone to check out this, do a shop visit, come figure out how many steps my technicians are taking, what's the best way for someone to get a hold of you?
So they can go to autoshopcoaching.com, go to the website. Also, in the last couple of weeks, we put up a blog article that has your report in it, kind of the report I wrote based off of that in it. And you can kind of look at both of our reports together. It's in the blogs. So just go to autoshopcoaching.com, click on the blogs, and I think it's on like other blogs. But you can go to autoshopcoaching.com, sign up for a free consultation. I'll do 30 minutes with about anybody, but I'm telling you, you better show up. This could be the most important Zoom call of your life or phone call, and don't stiff me on it because I am busy. I'll stop and talk to you, but don't make me stop to talk to you and you not show up.
Got one shot at it.
Yep.
Unless you're inviting him on a podcast and forgetting to record, then he's gracious enough to come back twice.
Yeah, then I'll do another one. Yeah. I do have something I do want to go back up to.
Final thought. Let's do it.
So the biggest thing, it's great to see a report. You don't know what you don't know until you know it. Coaching is great, but the mindset has to shift. And what I love about your report is it allows other shop owners to see what other people are doing and what successful people are doing. Because a lot of times they're like, oh, I can only charge this for that, or I can only charge this for that, or I can only do this for that. And until you get out of your comfort zone, until you change your mind and do those things, then you don't know. That's when, you know, group coaching can help. That's when a peer group can help. It's great if I punch you in the throat for an hour once a week. But if you have 20 people in your peer group doing the same thing, then the coach must know what he's talking about and you might want to do it. So again, the whole purpose of coaching is to shorten the lag time from where you're at now to where you want to be.
Love it. Yeah. And also, like, again, like, it's a comparison. You have your business, you have your shop, you can make it whatever you want. But I have a lot of people looking at this and saying, hey, everyone else does it like X, Y, and Z, and I want to do it like X, Y, and Y. And it's like, great. If you're making money, keep on doing that. But then again, if you're saying everyone else is doing X, Y, and Z, and you're doing X, Y, and Y, and you're having a pretty miserable time, then, hey, there might be a reason. Maybe these other people have made the mistake. Maybe Chris has seen this before, fixed it, done it, and lived to tell the tales, right?
Yeah. You know, the big thing in the discovery call, like a lot of the other coaching companies are great. A lot of them, though, are like cookie cutter. And they're like, okay, we start everybody here and you have to go through all these steps. One of the things we do in discovery is like, okay, if you're great at these four things, why are we going to waste time on them? Let's set those four things aside and do these other three things and do those really well and then take the other problems as they come.
No reason to change just because you want to change. And no one likes to change anyways. Cool. Thanks again to Chris. Don't forget to check out the Weekly Blitz. And if you want to get into contact with him, like you mentioned, I will put all of the links, emails, website in the show notes. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions or comments, shoot me an email at podcasterparmelis. Looking for an easier way to catch this show, Chris's show, and the rest of the shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network? Go to arpn.app. That's arpn.app. Download the free Automotive Repair Podcast Network app. Build playlists, share episodes, read show notes, and watch videos when available. So thanks again to Chris. Thanks again to you for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.